I'm Bill Littlefield.
Strictly speaking, the cosmic tale of the White Dragon Horse begins without the White Dragon Horse.
I encountered this particular cosmic tale when I opened up the 2016 edition of Best American Sports Writing. The story is about Zilong Wang. It was written for Bicycling Magazine by John Brandt.
Zilong grew up in Shanghai. His first bike was a clunker, like most kids rode around in. But when he was 13 in middle school, he had the opportunity to buy this beautiful, shining hybrid giant bike.
A classmate of mine said he can sell me one at about half or one-third of the price. And I know for sure that he's selling me a stolen bike. But I wanted the bike so much, and I want to let him shoulder all the bad karma. So I wrote up a contract on a piece of paper, say if there is anything wrong, any people come after me for the bike, he is responsible. I'm not responsible.
I didn't know that karma was responsive to contracts. I thought it was like something more mysterious than that.
That's right. Yeah, later I learned the hard way. After about a few months of riding that bike I knew was a stolen bike, it got stolen by somebody else again. So I guess that's how karma actually works.
Zilong looked for the bike, of course. He never found it.
Easy come, easy go. It's karma, so there's no way I can get the bike back.
The years rolled by, and Zilong, like lots of young men in China, decided that he would try to further his education by coming to the U.S. He chose Hampshire College in Amherst, Massachusetts, a non-traditional college without grades. A couple of Hampshire alumni had decided to learn about the U.S. by riding across the country by bicycle. They'd survived the adventure. Zilong liked the idea, and after graduation, he found a bike he wanted to ride. It was a surly long-haul trucker. It wasn't fancy, but it was right.
And it's a silver-white color. And as soon as I saw that bike, I knew the exact name for it. It's the White Dragon Horse.
I've been riding the same bicycle now for 5 years, and I have yet to name it. But what made you feel it had to have a name?
I didn't want to give it a name, but the journey called for a name. The White Dragon Horse is a mystical creature from the story Journey to the West, Xi Yu Ji. It described the Chinese monk who walked all the way from China to India to bring back the Buddha's teaching. And the horse that the monk rode was the White Dragon Horse. As soon as I saw the bike, I knew that the bike wanted a name.
Part of what attracted John Brandt to the story was the audacity of the journey. Another part of the attraction was Zilong's daily plan.
He decided every night he was going to knock on the door of a stranger, knock on the door and ask if he could pitch his tent in the backyard.
I had no confidence that it would work at all. So the first night I could not work up the courage, so I stayed in the empty Boy Scout camp. But there were so many mosquitoes, I got 30 bites, and when I tried to use a hose there to shower, a whole bunch of ants poured out because it wasn't used for so long. That first night out was just so miserable that I decided, okay, whatever, I'm going to knock on doors tomorrow. And from that day on, every single night that I knocked on the door, somebody said yes and invited me in.
So nobody ever said no, try some other neighbor?
Oh, most of people say no. One in five say yes.
Sometimes Zilong thought about turning back. The doubts passed, and the better moments arrived.
Those moments are when I connect with a stranger, when the next morning when I depart, we both have tears in our eyes. When I feel this connection with nature, feel this trust in the universe, those are just worth any of the pain, the discomforts.
Between Massachusetts and California, Zilong connected with lots of strangers. He remembers with special fondness some of the ones who most surprised him.
The Christian fundamentalists, the Republicans, at that time would be the Romney and now the Trump supporters. Essentially, for the majority of the trip in the middle of the country, I was staying every night with corn farmers, with people who are volunteering at the church. Those who I have thought are close-minded or xenophobic or all these labels. They were the most welcoming and warm and good-hearted people.
Would those people have been as welcoming, warm, and good-hearted to anyone asking for tent space and perhaps a cup of tea? Zilong wonders about that in a blog he wrote along the way.
Just imagine, if I were black, I would be a good target for some paranoid neighborhood watch. If I were Hispanic, people might wonder if I'm in the country legally. If I were Middle Eastern, I might look like a terrorist to some. If I were a white American, I wouldn't be as interesting as someone from China.
And he was on a bicycle. Maybe people figured what harm could be in him.
For all the magic of his crossing, for all the cosmic connections that were forged, there was little conventional drama. No fights, no violence, no steamy love scenes, just a young man pedaling a bicycle all day and talking quietly to people in the evening.
The people's home that I went into, they say, aren't you afraid? Have you met any bad people? For that entire 75 days, I have met exactly zero bad person, not even a harsh word or ill intention from anyone, only goodwill after goodwill. So it really gave me a lot of faith in not just the U.S., but also in humanity in general.
In general, his entire journey, I think, went like almost like a dream. Good luck with the weather, good luck with his bicycle. Everything seemed to work really well. His health was good. He didn't get injured, didn't get ill. Everything went pretty well until he reached the end.
When I was riding through the U.S., I didn't even bring a lock with me. I never locked my bike once. I leave it outside Walmart, at museums, outside little towns, and go away for half an hour, come back, the bike is still there. Nobody touched it. 3 weeks after arriving in San Francisco, the bike was stolen while locked as I went into a fruit stand to get some oranges just within 5 minutes.
Zilong called the police. He described the bike. One of the officers wrote down what he said. Zilong was not encouraged to think the white dragon horse would turn up.
The loss is greater than the bike. If, as he's always believed, the stolen bicycle he'd bought back in Shanghai was taken from him as some sort of cosmic retribution, what does it mean that he's now also lost the white dragon horse, the honestly acquired engine of his transformation and his great understanding and appreciation of so much of life, knowledge, and America? Is this really, he thinks, how the cosmic tale of the white dragon horse was supposed to end? And if so, what to make of it? What is the lesson?
The lesson took about 48 hours to reveal itself, and then it was a beaut. It turned out that a young woman who worked for a company that made bicycle accessories and, hence, knew something about bikes, saw the man who stole the white dragon horse with the steed. She thought, he doesn't look as if he belongs on it.
The guy was dressed raggedly. He was not a cyclist. He was running against traffic, and the bike was way too big for him. And this woman, Vanessa, decided, well, that's weird. That bike is probably stolen, but what am I going to do about it? Something you see every day in San Francisco. But for some reason, she couldn't let this go. She couldn't just let the guy ride away. So she started following him, got closer to him, and the guy pulled up into a doorway of an apartment building. And Vanessa said that normally she would never think about doing like this. She never done it like it before, but something was telling her, well, I'm going to just talk to this man. Finally, she said, this isn't your bike, this is Paul's bike. The name Paul just jumped into her head, but that was enough to break the ice and the guy split. It was meant to be. The cosmos was telling her to get this bike back for this man.
Yeah, that's actually the core of the story, and I'm forever grateful for her. Vanessa was her name, for restoring my faith in humanity.
Who would ask for more than to have his or her faith in humanity restored? And then there's this question, who, having ridden across the United States, would ever want to get on a bicycle again?
So I worked in San Francisco for 2+ years, and one day had this calling that I should go on a journey to the east and ride my bike back to China, where I was from. So 9 months ago, I embarked on this journey to the east, a pilgrimage more or less around the world once by bicycle, in service of the ecological and spiritual awakening of our time.
And how's that trip going?
Very well. well in the sense that a pilgrimage gives you not what I think I want, but exactly what I need, including all the hardship and the turmoils inside and outside.
So, the lesson. Perhaps there is no end point to the quest for enlightenment. Maybe once one begins accumulating faith in humanity, mysteriously, the vessel never overflows. Zelong rides on. John Brandt's story from Bicycling is called Zelong Wang and the Cosmic Tale of the White Dragon Horse and the Karmic Moonbeams of Destiny that Restored All Faith in Humanity. It was one of 27 worthy entries in 2016's Best American Sports Writing. Zelong spent the beginning of this summer in the UK quoting Charles Dickens. He wrote on his blog, "Judging from the headlines, this past month was certainly among the worst of times for England. Multiple terrorist attacks, horrific high-rise fire, ugly election. There was no shortage of foolishness, incredulity, darkness, and despair." Zelong traveled by bicycle, visiting a Buddhist monastery in Glastonbury Tor, a hill topped with a 14th-century church tower. He left the UK at the end of June, feeling that his time in the country had indeed been the best of times. He's now continuing his pilgrimage overland to Shanghai, as he says, in service of the ecological and spiritual awakening of our time.